Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this is from the Adi Lila, chapter 1, verse number 5. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir. It's Vikriti, Ladini, Shakti, Asmat, Eka, Atmanao, Api, Puvi, Pura, Deha, Vedam, Tatao, Tao, Chaitanya, Akyam, Prakrit. Prakatam Aduna Tat Dvayam Cha Akyam Aptam Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmad. Ekatma Navapi Bhuvi Pura Deha Vedam Gatao Tao. Chaitanya Kyam Prakritam Adunata Dvayam Chait. Yam aptam Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmad Ekatmana Vapi Bhuvi Pura Deha Vedam Gatao Tao Chaitanya Kyam Prakatam Aduna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Srupam Srimati Radharani, Krishna of Lord Krishna, Pranaya of love, Vikriti, the transformation, Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency, Asmat, from this, Eka Atmano, both in the same identity. Api, although, Bhuvi, on earth, Pura, from beginningless time, Deha Bedam, separate forms, Katao, obtain, Tao, those two, Pura, Chaitanya Akyam, known as Shri Chaitanya, Prakatam, manifest. Aduna, now. Tatvayam, the two of them. Cha, and. Aikyam, unity. Aptam, obtained. Radha, of Srimati Radharani. Bhava, mood. Duty, the luster, Suvalitam, who is adorned with, Naomi, I offer my obeisances, Krishna Sarupam, to him who is identical with Sri Krishna. Translation, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. So today is the auspicious appearance day of Srimati Radharani, known as Radhastami. And of course, Srimati Radharani is the Ladini Shakti, as mentioned here. Ladini Shakti. And their affairs between Radha and Krishna are pranaya. Pranaya means vikritir, vikriti, which means the transformations of love. In Prabhupada's literature, we'll find there is quite a bit about glorifying Srimati Radharani, and there's quite a bit of caution so that we don't mistake the affairs of Srimati Radharani as something with Lord Krishna as something ordinary. As Prabhupada gave one lecture, at least in the folio in the database, there's only two lectures that Prabhupada gave, one in 1968, and one in 1969, about specifically on Radhastami. But in both of them, the message was that first we have to understand how great Krishna is, that Krishna is not some ordinary person. Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam srimad orjitam evava tattareva gachatvam mamate jangsa sambhava ataiva bohanai tena Kim gyatena tu arjuna, vishtavi hamidam kritsnam ekam shenasti tojaga. That, know that all mighty, beautiful creations spring but from a spark of my splendor, Krishna says. That of all that is beautiful and mighty in this world, you should know that it's simply coming from just a fragment of me. But what is there of all this detailed knowledge, Krishna is saying? Krishna has explained that of the mountains, he's the Himalayas. Of the ocean, bodies of ocean, of water, he's the ocean, he's Garuda, he's Vyasadeva, he's Arjuna, he's so many different things. And then we find, Ekopya so rachayitum jagaranda kotim, it's chakti asti jagaranda chayandiranta, andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam, govindam adi purusham tamahang vajami. That Krishna, with just a fragment of himself, he's within every atom of every universe. And there are unlimited universes coming from the pores of the hair of Mahavishnu's body. And he enters into each one of these universes as Garbhadakashai Vishnu, and into every atom as Shiradakashai Vishnu. And in each atom, he manifests within him all the universes. And all these universes are uncountable universes, are just a fragment of the total creation in the spiritual sky. So Krishna is so great, he's manifesting such amazing opulences, then what kind of happiness is Krishna enjoying? That something that will give him pleasure must be very great. It cannot be something ordinary. So to think that Krishna, the love affairs of Krishna and Radharani, are something ordinary, that's called prakriti sahajya. So within our literature, there's a great deal of effort so we can find out how great Krishna is and eventually understand something about how great his pleasure potency is, Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy has been summed up as a Radio Bhagavan, Rajesha Tanus Tadama Brindaranam Ramna Kinchit Vraja Vadu Vargena Vakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartamahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Idam Vata Idam Tatradiana Para. That Bhagavan Krishna, not just any Bhagavan Krishna, but specifically the Tanus, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, Tadama Vrindaranam. that he's our worshipable object. He's the goal of our prema pamartha mahan, the fact that we want to develop love for him. But how to develop love for him? Ramna kinchit vrajavadu vargena valkalpitaha, that no one has shown a better method of loving Krishna than the vrajavadu, the gopis of Vrindavan, vargena. And there are many varieties of gopis of Vrindavan. But of all the gopis of Vrindavan, we'll find in the Nectar of Instruction that the best one is Srimati Radharani. And her kund, Radhakund, is identical with her in all respects. And that as Srimati Radharani is dear to Krishna, so also her kund, Radhakund, is equally as dear. But Radhakund is very rarely attained, even by sages such as Sanaka, Sanatana, and Narada Muni. So regularly we go, the devotees, to Vrindavan, and sometimes they bathe in Radhakund. So does this mean that we're more fortunate than Sanakan, Sanatana, Sunakumar, and Narada Muni? That we somehow or another, because we can get a ticket with Air India and fly to Vrindavan, that Narada Muni, because he's a brahmachari, he can't afford it? And we can bathe in Radhakund when they can't? So one can bathe in Radhakund. There are turtles in Radhakund. They live in Radhakund. There are monkeys who regularly bathe in Radhakund. Does that mean that they're more fortunate than Narada Muni and the four Kumaras? I don't think so. So to bathe in Radhakund is not simply a physical act of putting one's gross physical body into the water. It's to come to the same mood of Srimati Radharani as her mood of unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. Krishna said, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyakvat deham panara janma naiti mam eti sarjana. That one can, if one can understand by his own experience, not just by reading books or theory, but by practical experience, by in tatvataha, the nature of Krishna's appearance and activities. Ultimately, Krishna's activities are pranaya vikriti, as we find in Bhagavad Gita, bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasni tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. That one can understand me in truth only by the process of devotional service. So Krishna only wants one thing, that is love, bhakti. There's nothing else we can actually offer to Krishna. To Krishna has some value. That the soul's love for him is the only thing Krishna wants, and that original love is manifested in Srimati Radharani, pranaya vikriti. And as Krishna expands himself in all the universes, first as Baladev, and then he expands himself as the Vasudev, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, Pradumya, and then he expands himself in different ways as the Narayan features, Mahasankarshan, who manifests Karna Dakshay Vishnu and Shira Dakshay Vishnu, Garva Dakshay Vishnu. As Krishna is manifesting himself in different ways, so Srimati Radharani is also expanding herself in different ways in order to serve Krishna in his different expansions. As Srimati Radharani, she has many names. One of her names is Sarva Lakshmi, which means that she's also the goddess of fortune, and all the different Vaikuntha planets are all her expansions. So why is Srimati Radharani doing all these things? Simply out of pranaya vikriti, out of love for Krishna. Krishna's energy, ladini shakti, her intrinsic nature is simply to love Krishna. So why does she love Krishna? Because Krishna is all lovable, basically speaking. As Krishna is sonam bonam, Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashastriyaha jnana vairagyas jaiva shana bhagahitinganaha. Krishna is naturally lovable because he's unlimitedly beautiful. Now we cannot imagine what it means to be unlimitedly beautiful, But we can imagine something beautiful and then try to expand even a little bit more beautiful than that, and that's not quite as beautiful as Krishna is. Maybe we can get some idea how knowledgeable Krishna is by reading Bhagavad Gita. And with some endeavor, as we can see that our knowledge expands, so we can understand something about Krishna's knowledge. Similarly, Krishna owns everything, he controls everything. He's all famous, he's all strong, he's all renounced. So in this way, Krishna is all opulent. But his greatest opulence is he's Bhaktivatsala. Even if Krishna was simply powerful or opulent, but if that's all it was, people would not appreciate him very much. Just like it is said that if Indra is not praised by someone, then he's considered to be insignificant. But even an insignificant person, if he's praised by someone, suddenly he becomes significant. And that praise ultimately is due to love, at least in the spiritual conception of praise. It is because of a conception of love. So Krishna, because he's Bhaktivatsala, he's the dearmost friend and lover of his devotee, and his dearmost devotee is Srimati Radharani. Because he's the lover of Srimati Radharani, therefore the devotees appreciate Krishna more than if he was simply all opulent in every respect. And as Krishna is the lover of his devotees, there is no one who shows us how to love Krishna, how to reciprocate Krishna's love, more than Srimati Radharani. In the different literature, there is explanations of these loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. But unless one is actually on the transcendental platform, one cannot fully appreciate what it actually means, these transcendental love affairs of Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada used to warn of the danger of misinterpreting these love affairs, as if the love affair between the gopis and Krishna is something qualitatively different from the love affair between the parents of Krishna or the friends of Krishna or the grass or the trees or the flowers of the cows in Vrindavan. The quality of the love is the same. The intensity of the love may be different. Here in the material world, the quality is also the same. It is all based upon calm. Calm manifests itself in friendship. It manifests itself in so-called friendship, or the perverted reflection of it, of parental love, of conjugal love. The quality here is calm and manifesting itself in different ways. So here we think that something's good, something's bad, but ultimately, because it's a reflection, it's all bad. And there we think something's good and something's bad, but because it's reality, it's all good. Unfortunately, because we're not so much conscious of reality, therefore we judge even Krishna's activities in terms of our mundane good and bad. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is generally presented according to one's understanding. Even Jiva Goswami, he was reluctant to advertise so much about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, especially Krishna has different types of relationships, especially Madhurya Rasa. One is with his queens in Dwarka, and the other is with the gopis of Vrindavan, Swakya and Parakya Rasa. Swakya means legal, lawful, wedded wives in Dwarka. So people think, oh, that is very nice. Krishna's, you know, married. He's a little uncontrolled. He has 16,108 queens. Maybe a little lusty, but at least he's got married, settled down. But these pastimes, Parakya Rasa, with 10 billion gopis, this is a little suspect. How is that Krishna's attracting 10 billion gopis who are married to someone else and going out in the dead of night and dancing with them? So people think that this is not very nice, that why are you worshipping this lusty cowherd boy as God? So people are actually think like that. It is not some just joke, but people criticize Krishna in India that why is it that you're worshipping this person? And indeed, out of the misunderstanding of Radha Krishna's pastimes, there have emerged so many apasampradayas. The Prakriti Sahajyas, we've heard of, the Bowls, the Owls, the Garanga Nagaris, the Saki Bakis, the Karabajas. There are so many different varieties of apasampradayas, and most of them are all dwelling on this conjugal love affair between Radha and Krishna, thinking that is something like our conjugal love affairs in this material world. Therefore, practical devotional service, which is following the line of in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. And what is that mood? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is, as it mentions here, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam, Naomi Krishna Sarupakam. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has personally come, and he is not some ordinary incarnation. He is Krishna, but in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He's come for his externally to spread the Sankirtan movement, but we should not think that this spreading the Sankirtan movement is something external in our sense of the term. Ultimately, his spreading the Sankirtan movement is an invitation to understand his inner mood. That by spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, that one can actually understand the mood of Srimati Radharani gradually. That is not that the mood of Srimati Radharani could be understood all at once. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Keto Dharpanam Arjuna, one has to cleanse his heart. It is not that we start by understanding the most intimate rasa relationship with Radha and Krishna. Just like if we want to know some important person, what his affairs are, his intimate affairs with his wife and children, that is not possible all at once. Of course, nowadays, due to mass media, they have, you know, these telescopic lenses, cameras, and they're photographing, you know, this important person. Even he's in the bathroom there. They're taking pictures of him. Just so that everyone can know every last detail. But still, this is not, will not even be sufficient to factually understand the inner mood of this great person. That we can find something about how he does his occupation, how he runs his kingdom, or how he does something. Then we can get some idea at first. And then later on, if we have some relationship with this person, we may develop some friendship. And then later on, we may find out more intimate things about the person. So Krishna, who's God, who's everywhere, how is it possible that we, the conditioned soul, who are now identifying ourselves with this gross and subtle material body, although we're 1/10,000th the size of Tipuhera in size, misled by so many false conceptions of ourselves, so many illusions, so many other motivations, that suddenly Krishna is going to come before us and dancing. God, who's the source of everything, controlling everything, we're going to snap our fingers, and suddenly Krishna is going to appear with his flute and say, which note do you want to hear? Do you want to hear my favorite tune? Or no, how is that possible? Just like we want to call the Prime Minister of Belgium, you know, call him up on the telephone and say, come here immediately. Will he respond? He may send some of his agents, but he probably won't personally come. So, similarly, how is it that we can think God, who's the source of unlimited universes, unlimited prime ministers, that simply that by our demand that he's going to come? Therefore, Cheto Dharpanam Arjuna, one first of all has to purify his heart, Bhava Davagni Nirvapanam, clear it from this blazing fire of material desire, Shreya Kairava Chandika Vitaranam, and become refreshed by the moonlight rays of transcendental existence. Vado Jivanam, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, and enter into the ocean of transcendental happiness by the process of devotional service, beginning with Trinada Pisuni Chena, Tura Avisahishina, Amanina Maradinena, Kirtini Aksidahari. So these basic qualities like humility and tolerance and appreciation, that these are the qualities that will help us progress in spiritual life so that we can factually understand what spiritual life is in the first place. We can gradually become free from the three modes of material nature, rise to the mode of goodness, where there, in the mode of goodness there is knowledge of our factual position, how insignificant we actually are, and how significant Krishna is, and how significant Krishna's devotees are. With that basic appreciation, then we can understand the value of devotional service to Krishna, the value of the mood that is displayed by the residents of Vrindavan, that even if we have everything in this world, if we don't have that mood, then actually we have nothing. And if we have nothing in this world, but we have that mood, then we have everything. Dhyatva turanama sheshamandala pati shenim sadatu chava budva dina gunesha ko karunaya kopina kanta shito gopi bhavara samrita dilahari kolola san kololas sanhur bande rupa sanatana raguyago shi jiva gopala go gopi bhavara samrita dilahari kolola magna moho. So the six Goswamis, they personally gave up everything. They were very wealthy, aristocratic persons, government officials, but they gave it all up and went to Vrindavan, and they lived like ordinary mendicants who begged from door to door. But as Prabhupada writes, that they were so much enriched with the gopis' love for Krishna that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is at Jagannath Puri, and he was also in the role of Srimati Radharani, feeling transcendental separation from Krishna. So this mood of feeling transcendental separation from Krishna, following the mood of the gopis, or the other residents of Vrindavan, this is the most valuable thing that's being offered by the disciple succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. They're not offering material wealth. They're not offering material position or prestige. All they're offering is that. But that's the most valuable thing. And the process given by the Goswamis, as explained by Srinivasacharya in his prayers, is Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kolola Sannikrito Nidra Hara Vihara Kadi Vidrito Chatyantya Dino Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmriter Madhurhima Nandena Samohitao Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Shri Jiva Gopalago. So Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi. The six Goswamis, they showed us the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, regulated devotional service. And by chanting their rounds and performing activities such as bowing down before the Vaishnavas, they gradually conquered over eating and sleeping, and they were immersed in the remembrance of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. They were enchanted by the love of Radha and Krishna, and therefore they became situated on the transcendental platform. They never said, now I've seen Radha and Krishna and my business is finished and now I can get back to my real business in this material world. No, they were always in the mood of hankering. Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite Hey Nanda Shuna Kuta Shri Govardhana Kapa Pata Patale Kalindi Shune Kuta. That, where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Lalita? Where are you, Srimati Radharani? Are you by the bank of the Jamuna? Are you on Govardhan Hill? Where are you? They're always searching for Radhan Krishna in this world, in the mood of Vipralamba Seva, in the mood of separation. And being absorbed in this mood of separation, they were always absorbed in actually associating with Radhan Krishna in the proper mood. So this is also the teachings of our acharyas, to develop this mood of separation, this mood of appreciation for the love affair between Radha and Krishna through the service attitude. Not that we've understood Radha and Krishna, we've seen the pastimes, but know that actually we're separated from Radha and Krishna in this material world, and that we can search after them, and in the meantime, in our search, we engage in their transcendental loving service. Not that first we find Radha and Krishna in some bush in Vrindavan, and then we figure out whether we want to serve them or not. No, actually it's whether we're in Vrindavan or anywhere, the mood of service that I am actually Jivasrupa Hoy Krishnara Nityadas, I am Krishna's eternal servant anywhere. Somehow or another, Ainandana Turuja King Karam, Patitamam Vishame Bhavam Buddha, Kripaya Tava Padapankajas, Titadali Sadrisham Vichintaya. Somehow or another, I fall into this ocean of birth and death. So now, let me be engaged as one of the insignificant atoms at your lotus feet. So this mood that's exemplified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, of gradually progressing, becoming humble, giving up desires for material gain in this material world, nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye, giving up material desires, coming to the position of hankering to be an insignificant servant in this world to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission. And then, from there, one can progress to the higher stages of devotion. Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha prayishayitam shunyayitam jagatsarvam govinda varhena me. So one can progress from there gradually to the stages of higher devotion. So this is called the process of sharanagati. First of all, to accept everything favorable, and Prabhupada has explained what is most favorable to Krishna and to the mood of Srimati Radharani. Krishna is never without Radharani, and Radha is never without Krishna. They're always eternally together, or separate. They're together in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and separate in the form of Radha and Krishna, but actually they're eternally together in every respect. So how do we know what's most dear to Krishna? Prabhupada has explained how to serve Srimati Radharani in this world, how to get her favor. We will not get Srimati Radharani's favor simply by trying to find out, you know, what are their intimate pastimes. That the Srimati Radharani and her followers, they have warned us and showed the example that this is not the process. Krishna himself, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, Sharanam Vraja. So one of our acharyas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, has interpreted this Sharanam Vraja, take shelter of the residents of Vrindavan. In Sanskrit, of course, Braj could also mean to go, to Sarva Dharma Prichaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja, Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo, Mokshi Syami Ma Suchaha. So I think it's usually translated here as, go, yeah. Sharanam. So for surrender, go. But go where? Also, Vraja also can be translated as Braj. Take shelter of the residents of Vrindavan. Give up all other motivations and take shelter of the residents of Vrindavan. And what is that shelter? Ramna Kinjit Vrajavadu Vargana Vakalpitaha Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. And to find out how the residents of Vrindavan took shelter of Krishna, there are 10 cantos, so we, by going through the first 9 cantos, and if we want to get some idea what Krishna is talking about, then he says, Ya idam paramanguyam madbhakteshvabhadashati bhakti mayi puram kritva mame vaishatya samshaya. That in this world, one who preaches my message, he's most dear to me. Natchatasman manusheshu kaschid me priyakrita maha bhavitatat chame tasmat anya priyataro bhuvi. And that there will no one be more dear to me than he. So, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita in 700 verses. It is not that later on he made some mistake, that actually he didn't really mean what he said. But he says, take shelter of me, ultimately take shelter of the mood of Vrindavan. And who's most taking shelter of the mood of Vrindavan, who's most doing his desire in this material world, it's one who preaches his message, not someone else's message, but his message, to understand what Krishna's message is, and then preach it. What is the process of taking shelter of the residence of Vrindavan? It is not that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in 700 verses, but he was just wasting our time. Or that Srila Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami recited Srimad Bhagavatam in 10 cantos, or actually 12 cantos, but actually they only wanted us to dwell in the 10th canto. No, an intelligent person will realize that there is a systematic process. As God has created the material world systematically, as he does everything systematically, so there's a systematic process also to understand his higher and higher levels of consciousness. It is not that we should not read the 10th canto. Of course, I was told that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, one time he forbade his disciples to read the 10th canto. But Srila Prabhupada did not forbade us to read the 10th canto. As a matter of fact, he gave us the Krishna book. But if we read the Krishna book, we find that there was one incident in Los Angeles around 1975, and there was a club, later on known as the Gopi Bhava Club, different from the song that Srinivasacharya was singing. It was a different Gopi Bhava. So they had a club, and in the club, they'd meet regularly. They had a man's Gopi Bhava club and a women's Gopi Bhava club. And they'd simply read the pastimes of Radha and Krishna from Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada, when he heard about this, he became very disturbed. He said, if that goes on, then all the preaching will stop. This is, he said, is sahajya, actually. So does that mean that we shouldn't read the Krishna book? That reading the Krishna book is sahajya? Prabhupada even asked later on in another conversation, he said, are the men wearing saris yet in the club? So at that time, one of the devotees was defending the club, more or less giving their arguments. He said, but Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, even you say from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if you read the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that even if there's some lust in your heart, then you'll become purified. So Prabhupada's answer was that, no, you won't become purified, you'll become putrefied. Is that contradicting what it says in the Bhagavatam? No, because the Bhagavatam is meant for different classes of persons. If one is on the platform of Nishta, above the platform of Anartha Nivritti, then the misconception of thinking that Radha and Krishna's pastimes is something material will not be there. If one is actually on the transcendental platform and can experience what those relationships are, that they have nothing to do with anything material, then there's no question of confusing it. But until then, even on the platform of Nishta, because there is still some lack of full depth of realization of Krishna consciousness, on the platform of Nishta, one may be more or less free from the bodily concept of life, on the platform of liberation, but to actually fully understand what spiritual life is, it's not fully understood because there's some impurities left. So whatever impurities are left on that platform, if one hears the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan from the right source, then one will be able to experience fully the transcendental mood of loving relationships between Krishna and the gopis, or any pastimes. The quality of love between Krishna and the cowboys is the same quality. The intensity may differ. But if one hears about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna on the platform of Shraddha or Bhajana Kriya or Anartha Nivritti, then one will sure to mistake it as something material. And instead of thinking of Radha and Krishna's pastimes and experiencing Ladini Shakti, one will experience Maya Devi, Maya Shakti. One will become absorbed in Maya Shakti, and in the next birth, one will get the birth of, won't get a spiritual body, get another body. Therefore, Prabhupada said in the drugstore there are so many different medicines, but the expert physician has to decide which medicine that you want to take. Not that you go into the drugstore and you see a nice pretty bottle on the drugstore shelf, and you think, I want that one. It looks so pretty. I'll try it out, see what's the effect. Because nowadays people do that. Take a few of those pills and see what happens. People are used to that. But that's not the recommended process if you have some problem to get free from it. You should go find out from the expert doctor what is the appropriate medicine for one's condition. So Radha and Krishna's loving affairs are certainly the aim of our movement to understand what those love affairs are. And they've been given to us, our ability to love Radha and Krishna through the Sankirtan movement. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling a need to experience three things, namely how wonderful are Srimati Radharani's experience of Krishna. He wanted to experience Srimati Radharani's experience of Krishna in three ways. How Srimati Radharani relishes Krishna's qualities. Krishna has unlimited qualities, but no one can experience Krishna's qualities more than Srimati Radharani. And also Krishna loves Srimati Radharani unlimitedly, and she enjoys that love unlimitedly. So Krishna also wanted to experience how Srimati Radharani enjoys his love. And he also wanted to experience the unlimited love that Srimati Radharani has. As Srimati Radharani relishes Krishna's love and Krishna's qualities, she's also relishing her own love for Krishna. So, Krishna wants to experience how Srimati Radharani is relishing love for himself. Therefore, he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also this is our method to experience transcendental happiness also, to awaken our own love for Krishna. This is Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prema. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavi Tamati Kriyatam Kutopi Labhyate Tatra Loyam Mulyam Ekalam Janmakoti Sukritarna Labhyate. That this is called Krishna consciousness. To be absorbed in these mellows of experiencing our love for Krishna, of experiencing Krishna's love for us, and experiencing Krishna's and his devotees' unlimited transcendental qualities. So the method of gradually experiencing this is through the Sankirtan movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't have two missions, one to experience something for himself, and the other is to, you know, give something else to everyone else. They both combine together. His Sankirtan movement is the movement to introduce people to the method of entering into this transcendental mood that he was experiencing as separation from Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And from the very beginning, from the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, especially if it's done in the disciplic succession by the right process, then if one takes to it and understands it properly and takes to the prescribed method, then gradually one can progress through the different stages that are explained in the Shikshastika, up to the stage of the surrender of, and the feeling of love and devotion that Srimati Radharani has. Ashishava padam panam panistumam adarshanam mahakaram hatotuva yatatatavaradatu lampato mat prana nataste te evanapara. This surrender that you are my life, and no matter what happens to me, you remain my life and soul. So this mood of Srimati Radharani can be developed gradually through the process of Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti, which automatically as one practices sincerely and properly, one enters into the mood of Raganuga, Vadi Sadhana Bhakti, through the mood of the Sankirtan movement, and then naturally one will come to the platform of Raganuga. That there's no need for some external methodology. The mood of spreading the Sankirtan movement in itself is in the mood of Raganuga Bhakti. The same mood that the gopis have of bringing others to Krishna to engage in his service, that is the mood of the Sankirtan movement. And as Krishna is pleased by the effort of others, just like Srimati Radharani, she is Mahabhagavat, or Mahabhagavati. She's the topmost devotee. So what is her vision? Her vision is that everyone else, except for me, is a great servant of Krishna. So she's very happy. Her highest pleasure that she has is engaging others in Krishna's service. They derive millions of times more pleasure when they unite Radha and Krishna together than Radha and Krishna experience together. And Srimati Radharani experiences more millions of times more pleasure when she reunites her friends with Krishna than when she's united with Krishna. And Krishna is just happy to see everyone else happy. So this mood of uniting with Krishna, his eternal servants, this is the mood of the Sankirtan movement. And there's a method of uniting people. If we go up to people and say, you know, take Radha and Krishna, you know, they're a transcendental couple in Vrindavan, they're enjoying like anything, and Krishna has 10 billion wives, and what, do you want to dance with him too? And people will not understand what we're talking about. Very few people, Manushanam Sahasreshu, Kasyad Yadadi Siddhaye, Yatatamapi Siddhana, Kaschimam Vetitatvataha. Out of millions of people, you may find one person who has any idea what we're talking about. Even when we talk about we're not this body, one person may have some glimpse of actually understanding what we're talking about, or even have an interest. The common person on the street, if you go up to them and say, excuse me, sir, take this book, it explains you're not your body. Then they'll think, are you trying to insult me? Are you insulting me? What did you say about my face? The people will become very disturbed if you tell them that, for the most people. They won't have any idea what you're talking about. And if you say, so therefore, if one cannot understand that he's not his body, how can he understand that he's a spiritual being? Or what is the activities of the soul? Or what the activities of the soul and transcendence are? Or who the Supreme Being is and what his activities are? So these things have to be introduced gradually. But does that mean if we go and we introduce someone to the fact that you're not your body, that Krishna is thinking, oh, what a boring thing. He's just introducing this person to the fact that they're not their body. You know, I'm not very much appreciative of that. It's the people who are talking about the intimate pastimes with me and Radharani. That's what I really appreciate. Do we really think that Krishna is thinking, all these, you know, people, they're wasting their time trying to liberate these, you know, fallen souls, when they can be doing something better, talking about my intimate pastimes that they can't understand and I hardly can understand? I'm always realizing I've come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to more intimately understand them, and they're, you know, wasting their time informing the conditioned souls that you're not your body. No, if we examine Prabhupada, his activities, although we take him just by seeing his chanting Jai Radha Madhava and completely absorbed in relishing hearing about Krishna. I remember my original association, although I was initiated before I saw Prabhupada. First time I associated with Prabhupada was for a week. And part of the time, Prabhupada would just sit there, and maybe my one or two other devotees, or only a few devotees in the temple, and sometimes for hours, Prabhupada would just talk to us. And of course, my mind wasn't so controlled. So sometimes it would wander to different things. But one thing I noticed is that Prabhupada was always thinking about Krishna. He was always meditating. And he was just talking about Krishna. That's the first, one of the things I noticed about Prabhupada, is he was always meditating. And that meditation would increase. At least it would be more apparent when he'd be chanting Jai Radha Madhava. He was completely absorbed in something that was producing unlimited ecstasy. So much ecstasy that when Prabhupada sometimes would come in, I remember one time he came in, into. I first time I saw him, he was walking down the runway, or he was just coming off the plane. He was just walking with Brahmananda, and it seemed like Prabhupada just floating. So I was just like struck with wonder. Then after that he came in the same day, and he gave a class at the university, and Prabhupada walked in, and you know, the whole atmosphere completely changed. It became just like Vaikuntha. So, what was Prabhupada doing? What caused it? Because Prabhupada was an old man, therefore it became Vaikuntha, he was from India, therefore everything became just like Vaikuntha? No, because he was completely absorbed in meditating. So what was his message to the audience? You know, his message was that you're not your body, and that you should try to serve God. And what was his message throughout his practice, his whole preaching? What did he emphasize? That we are not this body. That we're actually spiritual souls. And we should take to the process by which we can gradually elevate ourselves out of this material misconception. The process is by doing some practical service to Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. Specifically by, as Prabhupada once wrote to me, because especially at one point I thought I was quite advanced in Krishna consciousness. So I'm sure Prabhupada detected it a little bit, because I asked him a question. I said, because I was sending him money regularly and to his book fund. We were selling these little blue Bhagavad Gitas, and whatever money we got, we just gave to Prabhupada for his book fund. So one time I asked Prabhupada the question, I said, how does Bhava turn into Prema? Because I was reading the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I was more or less convinced that I was greatly advanced and I was practicing on the level of Bhava. And I was just curious, you know, how long it would take it to turn into Prema. So, I mean, Krishna was giving some mercy, but not exactly that much mercy. So at that time, Prabhupada wrote me back a letter explaining that he started out, you know, just go out and chant Hare Krishna. Because at that time we were going out 8 hours a day and doing Harinam. Just keep on going out and doing Harinam. Distribute Bhagavad Gita everywhere you can, the message of Bhagavad Gita. And then he said that in San Francisco we just had a Rath Yatra. And the boys and girls, there were 10,000 boys and girls dancing and chanting in full transcendental ecstasy. That the boys and girls of your country, they're generally good souls, that's why they've taken birth in such a nice country. So now they should make everything complete by engaging what they have in Krishna's service. That in New York, I've heard that in just 2 weeks they've distributed 3,000 back to Godheads, that you're also distributing in Buffalo back to Godhead very nicely. So please continue in this way, and your success in life is assured. As Krishna sees that you're working seriously to bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom, that he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So this is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It may be that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came for this internal mission, because without the internal mission, there's no sense to the other mission. He came to present Krishna consciousness in a way that is palatable to people, that they can gradually progress so they can understand what his internal mission is. He offered a systematic methodology of coming to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness. And every step he said is anandam buddhivardhanam. It's tushanti cha ramanti cha. At the beginning it may not be so ramanti. It may not be the ocean of transcendental happiness, but it's tushanti. It's satisfying. And it gradually progresses one, putting out the blazing fire of material existence, and progresses one to the highest level. So the six Goswamis, they've written their books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They've written so many different literatures. Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us by our acharyas and their commentaries, so that we can understand what is the method, what is the mission. And if we take to it, then we can actually serve Srimati Radharani. It is not that we have to wait until we're in Goloka Vrindavan, and then we can begin serving Srimati Radharani. Serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabhupada has actually clearly explained it and demonstrated himself, if we actually understand that mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada, then we can actually connect with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva. It is not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came alone, he came with the Panchatattva. So Radha Krishna, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. How did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who did he come with? He came with Baladev, with Lord Nityananda. And what did Lord Nityananda do? Did he sit around and talk about Radha and Krishna's pastimes? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's no instance in the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Bhagavad. What is the book by Vrindavan Das Thakur? Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's no instance where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat around and talked to Lord Nityananda about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Lord Nityananda, his first expansion, he's Baladev. He enjoys with him, he's an eternal resident of Vrindavan. He's the original spiritual master. What conversations do we find that Baladev had with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who do they talk about? They talked about Shakshi Gopal and such pastimes. They talked about how to expand the Sankirtan movement. They went around delivering the Jagai Madhai. This is his most intimate friend and associate eternally in the spiritual world. What were they doing? They were delivering the Jagai Madhai in Navadvipa. That was Lord Nityananda's mission. Bolo Krishna, Vajra Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika. This is what he wanted Chaitanya, his most intimate friend and associate, to do. This is what Advaitacharya was doing. This is what Srivastacharya was doing. This is what Gadadhar Pandit was doing. So do we think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his friends, had, you know, they didn't understand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his inner mission? They kind of deviated. They were not really in the disciple succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They didn't understand his inner feelings. That Lord Nityananda was kind of confused. Is that what we think? The super soul, which is just a fragment of his expansion, just couldn't figure out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And therefore he was wasting his time going door to door, telling people to chant Hare Krishna, hear about Krishna, and surrender to Krishna. If we actually want to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, we have to understand it through the Panchatattva. And that's not so easy either. And if anyone understood the mission of the Panchatattva, it's Srila Prabhupada. So we have to understand his teachings, his methodology, and try to apply it. If there's any problems within ourselves, within our society, it's only because we haven't understood and accepted the actual teachings of Prabhupada, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we deviate from it, it won't make anything more easy. It'll simply mean that we'll be wasting our time. So, we can go on and on, but I think I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah.
When we are, or when I am in Sadhana, then sometimes it seems very difficult to think of Krishna.
What are you thinking about? It's easy to think of something.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking about? Well, generally speaking, if we're on book distribution, at least we should think about distributing the book. You think about that sometimes, don't you? So, that's service to Krishna. We're not out there just as book salesmen, you know. We're out there to distribute transcendental knowledge. So, although we may not directly think about Krishna, at least we're out there trying to do something for his mission. So, under difficult circumstances, it may be difficult to think about Krishna. It is not that if we sat home, try to read, we may think about Krishna a little bit before we fall asleep. So it may apparently be more easy to think about Krishna in the temple. And it may apparently be more difficult to think about Krishna outside. But thinking about Krishna outside is thinking about Krishna's mission. And if we actually take Krishna's mission seriously, even for some part of the day, then we'll find it's easier. Then we actually not only think about Krishna, we actually get the internal energy. We get experience of the transcendental potency. So just to think about Krishna like Kamsa, you know, superficially, is not very so important as to actually get direct experience of the transcendental potency. So the energy to distribute the book, to engage in the service, That's coming from Ladini Shakti, from Srimati Radharani herself, through the disciple succession. So if we're performing that mission, and we're actually getting empowered to do something, as long as we don't allow our false ego to take the credit for it, you know, thinking that now I've done something, and therefore this ecstasy or this enlivenment I'm feeling is all my result of my great endeavor. So if we understand it's the mercy of engaging in this mission, then we'll understand what is the benefit of being out there in Sankirtan. Maybe we're not, you know, seeing Krishna as the super soul in everyone's heart. Maybe it's difficult to always remember Krishna. But it's the best opportunity to actually get direct experience of what Krishna consciousness means, beyond just the theoretical of just thinking about Krishna. Krishna says, Madmana Bhava Madbhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, Mame Vaishisi Satyam Te Pratijani Priyosime. He says, not only think of him, but become his devotee and worship him and surrender to him. So it's not just thinking about Krishna. That's not all we want to do. We want to worship him. We want to surrender him. We want to be absorbed in his mission. So that's what Sankirtan gives us. So apparently we're not thinking of him, but if we're thinking about his mission, the desire to serve him, then we get a lot more than just our, you know, superficially thinking about him. Yes. Well, it depends what you can read anything, and it depends what your mood is. If you're thinking, you know, now I'm actually going to find the process, this is the process by which I'm actually going to get an easy road back to Godhead. That before, you know, I was thinking I wasn't this body, I was reading Bhagavad Gita, but now the real nectar is there. One reason that mood, you won't make any, won't get any benefit, or hardly any benefit from reading it. Prabhupada said, for instance, you can chant Hare Krishna, you can think about Krishna, but unless you do it in the authorized way, it won't last very long. So one can read these pastimes, and they're very sweet. I mean, because they're coming from our acharyas, they are transcendental pastimes, and they have transcendental potency. But our ability to actually absorb ourselves in them are limited because we're conditioned. Therefore, we'll only get a limited, even if we read them in the right way, the effect will be limited. And there's always, if we read them in the wrong way, the effect will be that we'll be blocked from understanding them at all. Therefore, they're nice to read. Certainly they're inspirational. But our real business is to work in this material world in such a way as to serve Krishna here. We're here, we're not in the spiritual world. And we're not about to get into the spiritual world. We're here now as Krishna's servants, and Krishna has a mission here. So we simply read about Krishna in the spiritual world and watch his mission go by, then we won't probably make very much progress. He has, just like Arjuna, he wanted Arjuna to do something. He didn't say, Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, there's a battle about to go on, but, you know, I have this book. Wow, if you get into this book, you won't have to worry about anything. Just sit down and read this book. And Arjuna opens it up. Wow, look at that book. 10th Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, wow, that's right. Wow, who cares about this battle? Let's go off and read this book. Krishna, you and I will read the book together. All right. Now, if that was the process, and Arjuna was an ever-liberated soul, why does Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita? And then after that, after speaking Bhagavad Gita, what was the conclusion? Let's go and read the book? No, Krishna told Arjuna to fight, but in Krishna consciousness. Did he tell Sanatana Goswami, let's sit down and just hear the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna? No, he told him to go to Vrindavan and do some service for him there. He engaged Lord Nityananda in service in this world. And through that service, then some access to the transcendental world will be there. So we have our service. This body is meant for a certain service. We should understand what is my service that I'm supposed to do. Someone may be an intellectual, someone may be, you know, more physical work. There may be so many different types of work to do. Service to Krishna to do in this world. So we should do that. And at the same time, we should cultivate Krishna consciousness. But we shouldn't think that the quality of service that Arjuna was doing to Krishna, that somehow or another he wasn't fortunate enough that while he was engaged in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the gopis were, you know, and gave him Lila Smarana, because somehow or another Arjuna was missing out. No, they were all, the quality of the service was the same. Arjuna was just as fortunate as the gopis was. So we should find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then we should do that. And then that will be our fortune. And if we try to imitate someone else, then that will be our misfortune. But these books are available. There's no harm in reading it. It's nice. It's inspiring. That's why Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book. Because Krishna book is not just the gopis' pastimes with Krishna, or even hardly has anything about, you know, even the cowherd boys. It's about Krishna killing demons, Krishna and Mathura, so much philosophy. So Radha Krishna's pastimes, as Prabhupada once told the editors of Bhakti Godhead, we're not boycotting the gopis. It's not that we have something against the gopis, and every time we chant the name of gopis, you know, it's everyone goes, oh, he said the name in public. We're not against the gopis, but we're against an improper understanding of who the gopis are and what Krishna's relationship with them is, and what their relationship with the rest of the devotees are, and what our mission is. We're against an improper understanding, not things, seeing things completely in a full perspective. Trying to become sahajya, taking things cheaply, not really assimilating the philosophy. So that we're against. You know, something that leads to a conclusion that you don't have to go through the austerity of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. All you do is have to, you know, be comfortable. You don't even have to follow any principles and just hear these intimate pastimes and everything will be perfect. That's called sahajya. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Shri Radharastami Ki Jai. Mahahotsava Srimati Radharani's appearance day Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.